The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Rena! We're ready for you! Rena!
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to The Last Kingdom with Mary and Blake. It is a podcast dedicated to The Last Kingdom on Netflix, so grab an ale, sit back and relax, and let's see how England was born. Welcome back. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake. And Brita. That is something ugly right there. Castrating kids. Oh, not great.
That's what she did.
Oh, she took wee Uhtred's wee little thingies.
How was I supposed to know that that's what she did? Did he say it's done?
No, but you know, there was a big bloody area right in that crotchal region.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Wee Uhtred's got no Wee Uhtred anymore.
Oh. Oh, God. That just took it to a whole different level. My goodness gracious. So here we are. We are beginning season 5 of The Last Kingdom. Super excited to start tackling this in real time with those of you who are watching it. And just in case you have already binged all of season 5, I couldn't blame you. I wouldn't be able to blame you. But if you need a little bit of a recap, basically this picks up. There's a bit of some voiceover. Uhtred and his friends seem to be living happily ever after in this beautiful, fun little village with Ethelstan, who's grown up nice and strong. Things are seeming great, except Brita lives in Iceland with some really crazy Danes, and they be doing all sorts of stuff. And Stiora lives with Sidtricker in their place as well, and his brother comes and he's drunk and he lets Brita's peoples in, and Brita's just trying to kill all of Uhtred's kids. Not great, Bob.
Not great, Bob.
Not at all. So that is the episode recap. Blake, tell me all of the boring details that I never pay attention to you to, but you do.
Hold on, we gotta play the music here. All right, this was episode 501. We are finally current, which is pretty amazing. We took this project on, I would say about a year ago, actually. And here we are, finally, episode 501, caught up a couple of days after it premiered, which is great. The director was Andy Hay, who has helmed episodes 406 and 405, and of course, this episode, and the writer, the writer is Martha Hillier, the showrunner of The Last Kingdom. She's written episodes 401, 406, 405, 402, 409, 410, and obviously now this one. Mary, your Shields rating for this episode, what do you got?
You know, this episode was, I'd say about a 4.5. I'm still trying to get my bearings. I'm happy that it's the season premiere, but there was a lot that of people I don't know, and when I don't do well with people I don't know in this show. So 4.5, but that being said, I'm really enjoying the energy.
Yeah, I'm going to give this one a 4.35. I'm going to get into the hundredths for this season.
I guess so.
I feel like getting into the hundredths is really important when when you're diving deep.
Okay.
And yeah, I'm going 4.35. Mm-hmm. This feels very much like season four did in the first episode, the first couple of episodes, where it was like, okay, we're back into the world. We have all these new characters. We're in a brand new setting. And there's this new big bad that's come into the world. And we have to prepare for that. Mm-hmm. Though there are some really great things about this episode that make it harder for me to grade. But we'll get there in a minute. Mary, what do you got for your GBG? You're good, you're bad, and you're great.
All right, my good were the new Danes that are hanging out with Brita with all the white paint on their face, because these people are hardcore. We've been seeing some really dumb Danes recently between all of the different leaders that we've had and everyone just getting in the kerfuffle right before battle. Dumb Danes. These Danes don't seem so dumb, especially based upon this one episode. Between the like epic planning that they had, sending Sig Trigger's drunk brother in, Brita pretty much trying to go after both of Uhtred's kids within the same day. All this stuff. And these people would be scary, okay? They're hanging out in Iceland, and all of them are just willing to jump into a pit at any moment. Goodbye. There was no like, oh my gosh, let me say goodbye to my mom. Let me say goodbye to my dog. Nope, just bye.
Yeah. Yep.
See what happens there. So my bad, Brita needs to chill.
Yeah.
I know I just gave props to all these Danes, but Brita going after Uhtred's kids? Brita, you need to like write in a journal or something. This is not okay. My great is I'm so happy all my friends have a home and they get to be there with their loved ones. Like, oh my gosh, Finn got a wife and a baby or a kid. Like, thank God, I'm just so happy. And I know that there's a lot of weird things that happened in this episode, but it seems like for the past several years, things have been great and things have been happy. And it just seems, you know what it seems like? It's like, where do they live? Not Northumbria, not Mercia, but the other thing.
Yeah, they're like on the border of,
place.
You know what? You're going to like this name.
Yeah.
The name is Runcorn.
That's what it is.
Runcorn. You're a wizard, Harry.
And
I can't believe you didn't even.
There's too many. Too many people. Too many names.
No. Runcorn. How do you not? How are you not making this connection?
I'm just not right now.
From Harry Potter.
Yeah, I'm not making the connection.
The guy's name was Runcorn. The one that Harry in the Deathly Hallows.
Oh, okay, nice.
I thought that was pretty self evident.
I also have long COVID, so my brain is not. You know. So I love that it's like. To me, watching everyone be merry, it was like Fezziwig's Christmas party.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where everyone's just happy and Ebenezer Scrooge's memories of Christmas have passed and everyone's jolly and dancing and playing. That's what it was like. It's like Uhtred is Fezziwig, but all the time.
Yes.
Until Brita cuts his son's pee-pee off. Oh, my God. I'm so sad for him.
Yeah,
okay, those are my GBGs.
That's unfortunate. That is Fezziwig. Unfortunate. All right, my good... You know, this show, it knows how to set the stage. It always has, and it has always been inventive with the visual storytelling that wants to achieve. And the beginning of this episode was no different. I, as most of you nerds know, am not a big fan of voiceover until it's done right. When you hear voiceover being done right, I'm thinking Goodfellas, you know, I'm on that level. Voiceovers are important because it can give you information that you would otherwise never be able to get within the structure or the framework of the story. And we begin this season with a voiceover from Uhtred saying, yeah, Brita, we haven't heard from Brita in forever. And... You know, she's just like, you know, some people say that she's dead. Some people say that she's just around. I don't know. And then we're juxtaposing that against Brita with who is obviously her daughter. And they're putting paint on their faces. And the shots of Iceland are spectacular. Iceland is just a gorgeous place to begin with. So if you're able to, you know, put your show there and have this kind of feel. Awesome. And then there's the reveal as the camera moves from Brita over the ridge, and you have all of these people, and now you get it. Sure, she's been gone for a while, but stuff's been happening. And not only does she have the white paint on her face, everybody's got white paint on their face, and you know that something is a brewing. The bad for me was actually the reveal of the brother being one of Brita's like cult followers. And it's not that I don't like that he's a cult follower. I think that's really cool. But I think I kind of would have wanted it to be more of a surprise. The way that I see it, it was like, okay, you saw his eye when he was in the food and he woke up and that was fine. And then you just got these hints that not all was as it seemed. Mm-hmm. And then you see him put his face in the water and not all was what it seemed. And then you see him put the white paint on his face and you're like, oh, well, okay. Like, I get it now. Mm. I don't think I wanted that. I think I just wanted him to keep just looking in the mirror or whatever. And we could play with that and understand it. And then when the reveal happened, I feel like that would have been more impactful. But that's that. But my great is the family time. For us, it's been a matter of a day and a half since the show took a break. But for many people, it's been a long time. And I'm sure for many of the listeners and the viewers right now, like it's like almost like for Outlander when you're going back home and you see all the people that you love and the feel that you get from it. You're watching all of the kids and you're seeing Finnan with his new wife and his kids and Edith shows up and we feel like Edith at that moment where we're getting introduced to everybody. It's such a smart move from Martha Hillier to have Edith show up and we, along with her, get introduced to this entire new community.
Yeah.
I find that excellent. And there's also another thing that I love that Martha Hillier continues to do. And she continues to do it so well. And it's these little devices, these little tracking devices that play a part into the story. Whether it was in season 4, the girl with the Thor's hammer who ends up getting killed. Mm-hmm. Or the girl who runs away from Brita as she's sacking the town, or the little tidbits that just track with the story. And in this case, we got one of those, and it was the tall girl. Yes. And everybody's trying to tell Uhtred to go hump the tall girl. And he's saying, well, the tall girl's too tall. And finally, he gives in, and he is in the wrong bed. And he's there with Edith, and she's laughing about it, and he's laughing about it. And I just like that it's almost like an inside joke, almost, that mm-hmm. just keeps coming up. It's not Arrested Development with all their inside jokes. But these little things that aren't necessarily fully related to the plot, but they are important to the character and how they are moving in their life. Implicit in Finnan's statement is go hump the tall girl. Implicit in that is Uhtred has been doing nothing. He has not been partaking in women.
Nope.
His sole focus is, Runcorn and making sure that that town is taken care of. And the question that you have to ask yourself is he being chased because Ethelfled is being chased? Right? So all of these questions come up from go hump the tall girl. I love that. I think that's such a great little thing that we can all just, get behind.
I'm shocked.
And appreciate.
I'm shocked that he's not getting action.
Well, I mean, he is the popular guy in town. Here's what I will say. The amount of years that have transpired since season 1, I would say are upwards of 30, mm-hmm. maybe. like season one, Edward was born, right? He was Mud Baby.
Yes.
And season four, what would you put him at? Like 20?
Put Edward at? Yeah, I'd put Edward around 20.
In season four?
Yeah.
This season, you'd put him around 30?
Okay.
Given how
so
old? Given
Ethel
how old?
Stan was maybe 10.
Eight? No, yeah. Eight, nine. Eight.
Yeah, so let's say he was eight. Now he looks like he's 15, 16. So I'd say 8 years longer.
All right, so I'm
so
going to be,
now,
let's be a little bit liberal and say it's been a 10-year difference.
Okay.
Right? Because Brita's daughter was born at the end of season four.
Yes.
Now she's what? Seven?
Yeah.
Ish? Yeah. So like, all right, 7, 8 years. So we're putting Edward around 28.
Mm-hmm.
So that was 28 years ago. Uhtred was what? 20?
I thought we were putting...
at season one? So I guess what I'm trying to get at here is Uhtred was about 20 years old in season one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been about 28 years.
So basically, like, how was he so hot, young, and vibrant, and he's 50?
And he's 50 years old.
I mean, there are some hot, young, and vibrant people who are 50, but...
Right, but he hasn't aged a second.
Whereas they have aged the queen. And granted, and
even
she's, like, kind of dead.
Even then.
Yeah.
Like,
they need to have taken some notes from This Is Us, and
yeah,
or they need
and,
to have taken some
Outlander.
Notes from Outlander. Exactly.
Yeah.
You could still be hot and, you know, 40 years older. Like, let's get with this.
Like, the way that they've aged up Jamie and Clea.
Yes.
Like, yeah, and it's not so much so that it's like, oh, but it's enough where you can say, oh, yeah, okay, I could see that difference. And Uhtred, same exact thing. And for the queen,
yeah,
it's like a couple of wisps of gray hair.
Yes.
And you're like, come on now.
It is pretty bad.
Yeah,
but
I would say that.
On the flip side, I'm here for it. I really don't care.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you willing to just whistle past that graveyard?
I 100% am. Now, if they start to say, I am 50, no,
yeah,
we won't believe it. But I can still believe that Uhtred's kids at the ages that they are his kids.
Yes, I would agree with that.
So I think if that was an issue, like I really had an issue at moments in season four with the queen next to Ethelflaed and moments like
oh,
that
yeah,
where you're
they
like,
look like
this is weird.
The same exact
yes
age. Yes.
Yeah.
And it's because they are.
Exactly. But right now with the current youngins, I can believe everything.
Yeah. I think as long as the younger generation still looks like a younger generation, then I'm willing to buy into the mystery mm-hmm of it. You know, I'm willing to buy into the veil of it. What do you think about Ethelflaed showing? Is she sick? Like, is she sick?
So it was weird how it went from like, oh no, mom might die, to okay, mom's totally okay, except
yeah,
she's not totally okay. So the way that I take it is it ruined her stomach. And
no, no,
like,
no. I mean Ethelflaed, not
oh,
Aelsworth.
Ethelflaed. Is Ethelflaed sick? She looks it.
Like, it's not to say that she looks bad.
I don't think she looked healthy.
But she doesn't look like herself.
Vibrant.
Yeah,
mm-hmm,
she doesn't look vibrant. And obviously it's probably due to makeup and how they shot it. But she also struggles to get up when she
oh,
is
yeah
praying.
Oh, yeah.
And even Aelsworth's like, you all right?
Yeah.
And Ethelflaed says, yeah, I'm just stiff from riding all day.
Oh, my
day
God. That was me. That was me. I was skiing and I fell off the chairlift. Like when you're supposed to be getting off at the end of the chairlift, I just fell. I just was not prepared. And my skis weren't coming off. I needed to get one ski off. And I took it off with one hand and my glove got stuck in it. And so I'm trying to either get the other ski off or get up. And I couldn't for so long. And I'm sitting there like, what's wrong with me? It was terribly embarrassing. But I felt like Ethelflaed at that moment where, you know, you're like, oh gosh, I shouldn't have this hard of a time getting up.
Yes. And did you believe that their interaction, Uhtred and Ethelflaed, is almost like, oh, it's been about 2 years since I've seen you, and it's and you can feel the want, you can feel the pull.
How do they let that much time go by? I mean, these people,
I'm sure that's awkward.
See each other like every other week. This country isn't that big.
Yeah, but I'm sure that it's awkward. Like, I'm sure it's been purposefully like that.
It's like in This Is Us when Miguel has to leave Rebecca because
he pines
after her so much.
And... hashtag spoilers.
Yeah.
yeah, maybe. Maybe where it's just like, I can't be around you. And Uhtred says as much, I think, in season four when she says to him, yeah, I can't. Mm. I can't be around. Like, I can't do that.
Interesting.
You know, so did you buy their interaction?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Yeah, I think so too. I think you're going to have to buy the interaction. You're going to have to buy Ethelfled doing what she does in Uhtred. By the way, Uhtred's outfit this year?
Yeah, it's really good. Everybody looks great.
The costume department?
Mm-hmm. The hair.
In.
Everyone got another glow up.
Oh, yeah. Citric got a glow up. Oh. Another fantastic glow up.
I feel like he got two more kids, too. I mean, yeah. Citric loves being a dad.
He is in on it. He is in on it. And I am surprised Finnan's got a girl that ain't Edith.
I am not surprised, and I'm glad he made that choice. Because I was worried it was going to be with Edith, and I was kind of here for it. But knowing that this much time has gone by, Edith is just shady, you know? She's shady. She slept with the king just to, like, do something. So,
well, that was at a different time.
Who knows? I mean, mind you, because, like, 7-8 years have gone by. So maybe they did hook up and hang out for a while, but then it just didn't work out.
He called her a cab.
Yeah.
He got Aldhelm. Aldhelm, would you take Edith for a ride for me?
Okay. What is going on with Osferth? He's the pimp.
He is, and women are fighting over him? Oh, my goodness gracious. Who would have thought?
I love it. And then, of course, we have...
There was that great line, too, where Uhtred's like, I don't have time to be kicking ass of drunk women, you know, over Osferth.
Yeah.
And the lady, as she's walking away, was like, you can kick my ass any side. These are the little things.
Yes, this show does it so well.
These are the little things that Martha Hillier is bringing to the table that I just did not see with Stephen Bouchard. And that may be an affectation of the fact that Bouchard only had 8 episodes per season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much can you do? But the way that I see it is your characters have to dictate your plot. The plot cannot dictate the characters. That is a Mary and Blake commandment. And if you do not make time to get these little things in there, you're not doing a good job. You're just not.
Hmm.
You need it. It's because if you don't have these little interactions, like little interactions between Sigtryggr and Stiora, little things between Uhtred and his men, Finnan busting his balls about Tall Girl and laughing about it and then kicking each other and meeting everybody. And if you don't have these things, you can't expand your world. You can't expand the vibrancy of your characters. It feels like a television show as opposed to you being in the world. See what I'm saying?
I do.
Yeah.
Fun facts. Blood month is November.
Oh, okay.
And they would not only like kill and hang out and chill and eat. They were killing a lot for sacrificing purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What did you think about...
I just wanted to tell you that because I wanted to let you know that I found that.
Oh, no, thank you. Good job with the research, Mary.
Trying.
And I like the fact that they showed the pig's guts and the pig's heads and everything. And, like, they kept focusing on it. And I was thinking, like, okay, why? Like, what is happening here? And then there was that reveal of Wee Uhtred coming out.
A sacrifice.
And Wee Uhtred's been snipped. And I'm like, now I get it.
Okay. So the bird's falling. Is that because of the volcano?
That's a great question. I mean, the volcano's in Iceland, right?
So, they had so the that's a long in Iceland, way. And then the Vikings, didn't they say like ride the wave? That's what I was hearing them say when they were like get into.
So I think she said to the waves.
Okay. I took it also, that volcano was not, it was still nearby. So obviously, in my opinion, it would be causing some pretty substantial undercover situations from the tectonic plates. So I thought that they might mean that there's actually going to be like huge waves pushing away from the volcano to help them on their way. That's what I was taking. But I thought, okay, Iceland, yeah, it's far, but not super far away from where Uhtred is. And if there's a volcano going off, then maybe the toxic fumes from it made the birds die?
I mean, I think that's a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
But I watched Chernobyl, right, that show, mm-hmm. and when Chernobyl blew up, they were getting bits of radiation all the way over to like Norway or Sweden, whatever it was, and that's how the world discovered that Chernobyl blew up, because scientists got the reading and they were like, "Hey, whoa, this is a problem." And they just ended up figuring it out because some lady called and nobody answered. So can I go that far and buy it? Maybe. To me, it's more Dane-like stuff. Dane-like intuition, if you will.
I'm not going to lie. There's a pretty crazy video of like some kind of blackbird just dropping dead in Mexico. And I think it even might have happened this year. But they're thinking it was because of toxic smoke that
from like the Tonga
somewhere else. I'm not necessarily knowing exactly where they're finding it from, but it's pretty wild. It's a crazy video. So if you're like someone who cries when you see a bird die, I mean, you just saw them pretend die on our show,
right.
But it's a pretty wild thing. And so I don't know. That's where my brain was at. Yes, the gods could be telling Uhtred something. But to me, in my like scientific mind,
it would make sense if
all this, you know, fumes come along.
I mean, and then Uhtred even says, like, oh, there's a problem. I can smell it. Like, it's foul.
And that's what I took it as, was, yes, the smoke from the volcano has now made its way.
Well, it was either that or Finn and ate just too much bad cabbage.
Because think about the wildfires that happened in California.
Oh, we felt those effects, yeah.
And we had those effects really seriously.
And we're in Rhode Island.
Yeah, so we're going from one side of our country to the other, and the wildfires were so bad in the West that it looked like fog here. It was significantly bad.
Yes.
Like, it was just absolutely bananas for quite some time.
Yeah, it didn't let up for a good few weeks.
So, I don't know. I'm kind of here on the smoke. Like, I'm here believing it is the smoke.
So, there are two, I think, I will say three. Three really important reveals about character that aren't being told to you, right? You're being shown. Ethel Stan seems to be a well-trained, well-thought-out, capable kid. And how do you get to know that?
Because
of the fight.
Yes.
And everyone's saying, oh, the kid's ready. Let's go on the hunt. Let's do it. And then the reveal that Uhtred is not only worried about it, but almost like he can't let go. He doesn't want to let go. And he keeps, no matter how much Ethelstan proves how good he is, what happens is Uhtred's like, you're not ready. Now, that reveal in and of itself is like that because he lost Wee Uhtred. And is that because he lost Siora and he didn't do the right thing for them, but he has done the right thing for Ethelstan? So is this his chance to be the good father that he probably should have been to his own children? Like, that's a great reveal.
So much pain.
That is the show showing you and not telling you. Another great reveal, too, is Breida, when Breida just looks over that ridge and sees all of them people, right? And she is a charismatic and lightning rod of a leader. Mm-hmm. People have gone to Iceland to watch volcanoes erupt.
They let her little daughter,
yeah, like
do
just
what she wants.
Take some dude,
yeah,
and let him jump into a fiery pit.
Goodbye.
That's pretty banana land.
I love. Remember how at the end of season 4 I was like, oh, I just want some more pagan witchy stuff. I hope Rita does it. Seen her daughter, known as the Seer. You know, so she is the Seer. She's playing with those little runes and all that kind of stuff. And what was wild is the guy jumps in the pit. Breida says, show us a sign. And the volcano explodes right away. If that doesn't make her followers want to follow her even more, make their conviction in Breida as the true leader for them even stronger, than I don't know what would do it.
Yeah, is...
that was lucky.
Is there no hope for Breida? Like, is Breida just...
No, I'm saying.
No, no, what I'm getting at
Breida
is...
Breida got her groove back.
I know, but in terms of the character herself, she's clearly... She's on Mars right now,
oh,
right?
Yeah, no, she's... There's no hope for me to love her.
Ever again?
No.
And that's clearly by design, right?
Yes. They tried to get us to feel that way at the end of last season when she stabs Uhtred.
But like, but you kind of really, got it.
Yeah.
Like, and even the whole like, oh, dig up the people. Like, you kind of got it.
I don't really care about those people.
Yeah. Like, whatever.
I don't know them.
But now you're gone and snip, snap, snip, snap. Like Michael Scott. Snip, snap, snip, snap.
Well, and it's not only just we Uhtred, but that's Uhtred's line.
Yeah.
Like, Uhtred doesn't have another son. Well, he does.
He does. We just don't know where he is.
extra Uhtred. That's what I'll call him.
Extra Uhtred.
That's so bad. It's
man.
So bad. But, you know, in that, it's like, yeah, you can inherit, you can go get Bevanburg, but like, who are you giving it to? Nobody.
Yeah.
You give it to your son.
Extra Uhtred.
And that's it.
And
yeah, extra Uhtred.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I mean, and Steora, she ain't going to take it because she's you know,
they've
shacked up with Sigtryggr
in Northumbria.
So why not, right? She's an Efrawitch.
Yes.
Or
Efrawitch, that's where they
are. Yeah, yeah. Well, Efrawitch is part of Northumbria.
Okay, city state.
City state, city state. Sigtryggr, doing the right thing. Clearly the brother is trying to wedge himself in between Sigtryggr and Steora.
Yeah.
And it pretty much succeeds. I would say that, again, Steora is all very much Gisela.
Okay.
Because she is. But in this season in particular, she looks like Gisela.
She does.
Like, it is wild.
And the confidence that she has speaking at the table, like, that's one of the things that I loved about Gisela. She always spoke her mind amongst men, women, whomever. You know, like, even the king came over and she was able to talk a bit. And I just think that it's so wonderful to see, like you said, the visual aspects in Steora that kind of look a lot like Gisela, but also the way that she handles herself and her confidence.
Yeah. And it's funny that, like, Sigtryggr is the one that's saying, yeah, you know what? Hey, the people come in, they choose their faith. Like, we're living in peace here.
Yeah.
And it's Steora who is somewhat falling prey to the game here, where she's saying, Edward has taken all your people. Why are you letting this happen? And this was the girl that said, that is a game for old men.
Yes.
The kings and all that other stuff. So it's, I don't want to say ironic, because I don't think it's ironic, but I just, it's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting.
That she is...
Because people's perspectives can change.
Yes.
You know, I think she saw it as let's run away and have a safe space for us where we can truly be ourselves and not have to worry about the war and everything. And yeah, if there's like a random Christian guy that wants to come in, whatever. We're not going to kill him, you know?
Yeah.
But now it is taking over.
Yeah. And then they obviously Brita gets led into the camp because of the brother. And again, that's kind of the scene that I want to see and be really impressed by. Like, I want that when Brita shows up, I want that to be a surprise. Mm-hmm. Right? I don't want that to be a like an obligatory reveal.
Yeah.
And that's the issue that I have. But she does show up and she does do the things that she does, and let obviously the action is back in the Last Kingdom. People are dying.
Where's Tiara? Where's Uhtred Stein?
Oh, man.
I like that they have a character who is deaf.
Again, another nice little detail.
Like, obviously, there were deaf people then, you know?
It's a lived-in world. Mm-hmm. It's a lived-in world, and that feels great. That feels awesome.
Agreed.
Because, again, there is... this little deaf girl that is serving Stiora,
yep.
And they're having these little conversations with Sign. Just a nice little thing. I whether or not it pans out to be anything, who knows, who cares? But the fact that it's there,
yes.
Is awesome.
And that she and Stiora communicate, you know?
Right.
I've always, it's something that you do. You wonder how did people live in different times when they didn't have the things that we have now. And obviously they created their own sign language then to be
sure.
able to communicate.
Yeah.
It's something I think about frequently as I wear glasses or contacts. And previous to there being glasses, I would have been in so much trouble. I would have been so blind to things. And that's something that I think about. Like, they didn't have glasses then.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of those people can't see well.
Yeah, they're just like... just using their hands, searching about. now that Brita is clearly the big bad, mm-hmm. and she is clearly going to start a rise, and she's clearly going to create an issue with Wessex.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to be a thing.
This is it, yeah.
How do you feel about her being the big bad now?
I love it. I wanted her to be a big bad.
Was it only was this progression only natural?
Yes, 100%. Because we opened season one, episode one, with Uhtred and Brita being children.
Yes.
And going on their evolution of being raised Saxon, being stolen by the Danes, converting to being Danes, you know, being together, being loved, having a pregnancy together, losing that pregnancy, like all these different things. It is a beautiful and tragic evolution.
Are we in danger of losing Brita's humanity?
I don't really care.
Like,
I think it's gone.
Yeah, and that's what I'm getting at. Like, are we in danger of losing the characteristics that make her a viable person? Will she just become a force?
No, because you have to keep in mind all the trauma she has gone through. There have been people who have continually lied to her. She's been used by men. Like, even though she kept thinking that she was having a son, she is so proud of being this woman, and she's probably really happy she has a daughter, because every single guy she meets lies to her and double crosses her in some kind of way. So I don't know. I don't think that she's like lost the complexity of a character.
Mm-hmm.
I think that adds to it. And when you are able to sit there and better understand why someone acts that way, rather than, nope, she's bad because she's bad. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Then you really get it. Then you almost believe it more. Would she castrate Uhtred's son? Yes. Mm-hmm. Would she kill Stiora in a heartbeat? Yes. And we know why.
Sigtryggr is caught in between all of these people.
It wasn't clear to me if he was going to be dead.
I was going to say, and that's my question. Is he going to be long for this world?
I don't know. I would hope that his brother would save him, especially because his brother overhears everything that Sigtryggr says. Like, he's my brother. Come on, I want to be nice to him.
Yeah, but by that point, he's been radicalized. So at that point, it don't matter, right? Like,
if you don't have white face paint,
you're out.
You're out of this team.
Where's the white face paint kid?
You can only get it in Iceland. It's part of your journey.
Yeah. It's part of your journey of your
you
Mecca.
You make it with the ashes of the person who last jumped into the pit.
So we have Steor, who now is in mortal peril. Like, something is going to happen to her, and this is obviously going to get back to Uhtred. And I like that Uhtred...
He thinks she's there. Bruno!
And that is, and that in and of itself is another great show, yeah. Don't tell. Because
how scary is that? It's nighttime and you're just standing near the water and you can't see. Like, is right. there a boat there? I don't
you
know.
Don't
I need
know.
Glasses.
And the fact that Uhtred is a pretty calm, by this point in his life, he's like a pretty calm.
Until
like,
his son's pee-pee's cut off.
And what I'm seeing. And again, implicit in this action of him screaming out into the night.
Is it the Frank or beans when someone's castrated? The beans?
It's the beans.
Oh, so his pee-pee's not cut off. I was just trying to envision that. I didn't understand. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Implicit in that action of him screaming is that he's scared.
Yes.
He is scared. Yes. Like, in it's coming off as though like he's being tough, but if he wasn't scared... He'd be like, okay, well, you know what? Line up. We're going to be all right. Everything's going to be fine. Just when it gets here, we'll take care of it. But he is calling her out, and he's calling her out to get her to show herself. He doesn't even know if she's around there. Like, and he's just screaming. I love that. I freaking love that. There was so much to love about what is implied in all of these actions. Just a real benefit to what the show is trying to accomplish. Is there going to be something between Edith and Uhtred?
I don't think so. I mean, while she's around, why not? You know, sometimes friends with benefits is fun, flirtatious, and easy. But on the flip side, he doesn't want Finn in seconds. And as I said, there's nothing that leads me to believe that they didn't hook up for a little while.
Sure, sure. But there is also that great moment where Uhtred says, you know what? People change. Who knows why she's here? Like, it could be anything.
But I think he says that in a bad way.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, people change. So,
yeah,
like,
so I don't think he wants to get in bed with Edith anytime soon.
And that's very possible. And that's why I'm saying
I'm
that.
I'm hoping that he, nakedly covering himself, walked out and found the tall girl. In my mind, he does.
How do you feel about Aelswyth? And, you know, at the end of season 4, she was on her deathbed and she wakes up and
I'm happy
this
with it.
And she's alive.
I didn't want to have to deal with all that drama of the whodunit and did she know she was poisoned. In my opinion, that eventually will come out. Something will be said and happen.
Yeah.
Because obviously the father-in-law is still having issues, but I appreciate that she's now like really ill because of it, that it did cause massive difficulties.
Yes.
I'm happy she's here. I'm happy we're not still stuck in poison time. However, when we get to the father-in-law, I am shocked that he is still like living in the palace.
Oh,
and Edward still has to put up with him. I'm sorry, you're the king. Yes, that's the queen, but you could put your foot down and say your dad.
And it's not like you
stinks.
Care about the queen at all anyway.
No,
like, you clearly
send
hate
them
this.
Away.
You basically told Phil, I hate your daughter.
Like, send them to Hawaii. Goodbye. You've got enough money.
And not on top of that, the daughter is just like, yeah, let's go kill Æthelstan. Let's just do it. Can we please do it? Can we just get it done?
I just can't. I just can't with
and
them.
And Phil is actively trying to kill Æthelstan.
He's the one that hired, of course, those three guys who tried to kill him. Æthelstan, thank God, actually killed two of them. And the third one, now his job is just to go around town being like, aren't we so lucky that we know who the heir is, who the Æthling is.
Yeah, whatever his freaking name is. I can't even remember anymore. Elfwid?
Bullcut kid.
Yeah.
The beetle.
The beetle. I just... Phil, I can't believe Phil is still around.
Agreed.
And I can't believe... I just... Oh, why would you... Edward, why do you let Phil just still stick around? Drives me crazy. All right, you got anything else you would like to say about this episode?
No.
All right, fair enough. Let's close this bad boy out.
Let's do it.
Oh, you know what? We actually have a some listener feedback.
Great.
Says this one comes from Amelia. She says, "Hello, Mary and Blake. I just listened to the podcast for Last Kingdom season 3 episode 9. Mm-hmm. You were talking about how you just loved that the show left it up to you to decide if Uhtred actually came to Alfred as he was dying or if Alfred imagined it, and you believed that he imagined it. Personally, I immediately thought that they were just going to how close to death he was and then focused in on Uhtred so we could actually hear what he was saying. But I always thought that he was there. Now, maybe you have already been called out and addressed it on the next podcast, which I haven't gotten to yet, or maybe no one said anything. But for some reason, I felt compelled to point
this
out.
Thank you, Amelia.
Just a few scenes later, when Uhtred is with Beaca, Finan and Tura, after he finds out his pardon no longer stands and he must leave, Uhtred says he can't leave until Edward is king. Beaca asks him, "But you promised Alfred this?" And Uhtred responds, "I did." I would have to say that this is proof that the interaction wasn't imagined. My husband and I were watching The Last Kingdom last year and almost made it to the end of season 4. Then we got distracted. And when you two started podcasting about it, I found it the perfect reason to start from the beginning again.
Yay.
And I'm loving listening to each podcast after each episode.
Thank you.
Found you with the Outlander Cast podcast, by the way. Go to maryandblake.com. Check out Outlander Cast. And I'm very excited for that to return as well.
Mm.
Well, Amelia, it's returned, baby. And Mary and I are podcasting about it. We just completed our listener feedback episode for 601 Echoes. So I'm very excited about that.
Too.
All right. So we have.
Thanks, Amelia.
We have a Destiny Theory of the Week. You ready for this?
Okay.
I want to let you know that this Destiny Theory of the Week is brought to you by the Mary and Blake store. Just go to the maryandblakestore.com where you can get all different kinds of cool products and things like merch and whatever for all the different shows that we cover, including The Last Kingdom. And we just put out a brand new product, Screw You, Crow, based off of Mary's very funny line from the I think it was episode 307 where little Elfwyn was having a fever dream following a crow.
She's too much.
Just
too
screw much. You, crow.
Yes.
So we put that out there. That's now out. All right. My Destiny Theory of the Week is this. Sig Trigger, dead. Going to be dead within the next two episodes.
Okay. I can appreciate
gonna
that.
Going to be dead because there has to be some kind of, I don't want to say payment, but there, Breida has to continue to do stuff that makes her the big bad. And if Sig Trigger's around, then that makes it more
that
difficult.
That'll make me sad. Even though we had a lot of Sig Trigger in 4,
yeah.
I didn't have enough. And I feel like he's such a breath of fresh air. And granted, we can have that with Stiora, but we've seen how hard it is for women, aside from Breida, to make a difference in the Saxon world. I mean, it took a lot for Breida to get to the position
that she
has anyway.
And it took a lot for Aethelflaed.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So I'm sad because I like that neutrality that Stiora and Sid Trigger have been able to bring about. And if he does die soon, I'm going to be really, really sad about
that. Yeah, I will be sad about it too. I think there's more for his character to do. But
if he bands together with Uhtred, it would be such an amazing team.
I kind of like that team.
You know he wants to join in the Blood Month.
He wants to join up. He wants to join SEAL Team Uhtred.
He and
so
Finan
wants.
Will have like a secret handshake. And, oh, I love it.
You know, another quick thing. Watching Aethelflaed with that crown that she has. I don't know. She wasn't wearing it last season. So when I saw it with her in this season, I don't know, it just felt right. It just felt
very,
like,
yeah, very
felt like,
fitting for her.
Like,
I agree.
You have a crown. You're the queen. Like,
she's
how awesome
deal.
Is that?
She's a big deal.
That's cool. All right, let's close this bad boy out.
Okay. We want to thank you all so incredibly much for making it to the end of this show. Hello, hello. Thanks to our friends at jointhenerdclan.com, of course, for being patrons. If you're not yet a member at jointhenerdclan.com, what are you waiting for? Tis the season to join, my friends. It's
oh
such a
goodness.
Great time to. I also want to remind you all that in addition to podcasting, I actually also run a business called Minute with Mary. It helps people feel super creative and confident with their makeup and their skincare. I'm not wearing any makeup right now because I've been sick and I'm just trying to go with the flow as it's been the time change day, the daylight saving time day, and it's thrown our whole family for a loop. So even though I don't look made up, I promise you I know how to do it. And I would love to help you feel more confident. So just search the hashtag Minute with Mary on Facebook or Instagram, or you can go to MinuteWithMary.com.
Or you go to the YouTube channel and see all the great stuff that she does there. Yeah, see everything there
too. Exactly. Know that that is another way that you can help contribute to Blake and I as parents and podcasters. So thank you so much. Keep your eyes on all of our social media channels as we are pumping out tons of content. Don't forget we have a complimentary text reminder service. You can see all the information on our social media channels. We pump it out there regularly. And on that note, my name is Mary.
My name is Blake.
Destiny is all.